So Thursday morning, I walk into Keith's office and I stop and I say, "Man, do you smell good today?" And I have to admit, I don't guess there's ever been a time that I've told another man that he smelled good. But in my defense, Keith had cooked bacon that morning for breakfast. And I knew immediately what I was smelling and where it came from. That's just a good smell. At Mom and Dad's, we had Thanksgiving yesterday. And to step in the house and smell Thanksgiving, they need to make a cologne that smells like Thanksgiving. If you're looking for a Christmas gift for your preacher, find a cologne that smells like Thanksgiving or bacon. Either one. I'll take either one. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 100. Psalm chapter 100, verse 4. And while you're turning, just a quick update. I know a number of you picked up papers that we had in the back regarding what's going on in Canada. Our missionary that we help there, or located preacher, Jean Grenier, normally comes and sees us about this time of year and gives an update. But there's been so much work being done on the building and needing to do additional work to winterize it for and prepare for the winter time. He's going to come in the spring, so there's just been so much work that he's not going to be able to come this fall. But a couple pictures to let you know how great it's looking. I know they're getting very, very close. The last report mentioned that they're now petitioning the city to receive permission to really function on an open basis, put a sign out and things like that. So keep the work in Canada in your prayers. Also, the teens will be coming back. They're headed back, I think, now, and they will arrive by 12:30 or about 12:30 today. So parents, be mindful of that. And the next Monday night for the Master, which will be a week from tomorrow, Rick will be organizing another evangelism meeting during that time, during Monday night for the Master. So next Monday night, be planning for that. It's going to be good. Psalm 100, verse 4, says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Thanksgiving is what we were to bring here today. If you came today and didn't bring something to thank God for, you're missing a primary part of what worship is about. We come here not just because we're supposed to be here. I know this is where I'm supposed to be, so I'm here. We come here to thank God. We enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise. And this morning I want us to notice three things that thanksgiving does. You know, what does thanksgiving do for me? Should we be more thankful? Yes. Do I have a lot to be thankful for? Of course. Are there things that I don't think enough about to be thankful for? Absolutely. But this morning, I want us to notice three things that thanksgiving, thankfulness, what does it do for us? And the first one is it keeps us focused on God's goodness. Look at Leviticus chapter 7, verse 11. It forces us to acknowledge the giver. If I'm thankful for something I have, it immediately turns my focus to who gave that to me. And thankfulness has always been an integral part of God's people. This is back with instructions in the old law for the Israelites. And it says, verse 11, these are the regulations for the fellowship offering a person may present to the Lord. If he offers it as an expression of thankfulness, then along with this thank offering, he is to offer cakes of bread made without yeast, mixed with oil, wafers, and so on. And verse 13 says, along with his fellowship offering of thanksgiving. See, they were to offer what's called fellowship offering. Sometimes it's called peace offering. It's an offering of thanksgiving. And they were that was separate and apart from their burnt offerings for their sins. These were just offerings because, God, we acknowledge something in our life that you gave us and how good you are, and we want to thank you. And that happened all the way back in the days of the Israelites. It was a regular part of their worship to God. In Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 8, we read where it says the Levites were Jeshua, Binua, Kedmael. I'm going to skip a couple. Judah, also Mattaniah. But notice that what notice the job that they had. It says, with his associates, was in charge of the songs of thanksgiving. They had songs of thanksgiving, and they had men in charge of those songs of thanksgiving. Gratitude to God has always been a part, it's always been a hallmark of God's people. In Ephesians 5, Paul writes about immorality, and he writes about sexual immorality, and he says there's no place for that with God's people. And he says, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. We are to be thankful people. How much of God's goodness do we miss out because we're not being thankful? How much of God's goodness do we not see because we fail to be thankful? When we were in Canada this summer, seeing the Greniers and helping with the building project there, we fly into Quebec City, and then we drive a couple hours to where they are up in the rural part of Quebec. And as we're driving, you have these signs on the side of the road: watch for, beware of moose, because if you hit one, I mean, hitting a deer is dangerous. Hitting a moose is, just amplify that quite a bit, okay? And so guess what we're looking for? We're looking for moose, but we're not looking because we're afraid to hit one. We're looking because we're in Canada, and we want to see a moose. And so we're looking the whole time when we're driving, and we don't see one. It would really be a lot like if you were to go take a two-hour trip and see a deer. I mean, we see deer. You've seen deer. But to take one trip and spot one is a whole different thing. And so we're watching. Well, on the way, we didn't see one on the way. On the way back, we're watching again. And I'm driving, and all of a sudden I notice in this, we've rented these minivans, in this Dodge Caravan, I notice I have a digital speedometer, and I also have a regular speedometer. There's both. And I thought, well, that's kind of weird. There's speed, and I mention it to my passengers and those in the van. Isn't this weird? And they look at that, and yeah, that's odd. And the next thing you know, over our little two-way radio with the other vehicle that Brian Benton's driving, Brian says, "Criminal record to Silver Tongue. Did y'all spot that moose on the side of the road?" And I'll tell you later why he. Why his handle is criminal record, but and so I say back, "You've got to be kidding." He says, "No, we just passed the moose on the side of the road that we didn't see because I noticed this speedometer, right?" And so we immediately turn around, we do a U-turn, we come flying back, and minivans don't fly. But we tried, and we kicked them hard. And then we did another U-turn, and we come back, and we approach the area. He's in the lead, and sure enough, there's a mother, I assume a mother moose, and a baby moose on the side. How much of God's goodness do we not see because we're looking at stuff? How much of the things in our world today do we chase after? We pursue, I got to have this, I need this, I want that, boy, this is fun. And all the while, we're missing how good God is by being thankful. Number two, thankfulness leads to joy. I want to share with you three scriptures and notice the connection of thankfulness and joy. Ezra chapter 3, verse 11, this is where they were rebuilding the temple after captivity. And verse 11 said, they've already laid the foundation. And verse 11 says, "With praise and thanksgiving they sang to the Lord. He is good. His love to Israel endures forever. And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid." You have thanksgiving and you have a shout of praise. You have thanksgiving and you have joy. And those two things go together. Psalm 42:4. Says, "These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude leading to the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng." When you have thanksgiving, you have joy. You just do, because one causes the other. Jeremiah 30:19. says, from them will come songs of thanksgiving and the sound of rejoicing. I will add to their numbers and they will not be decreased. I will bring them honor and they will not be disdained. This is after captivity. This is where God's saying, I punished you for your idolatry, but I will bring you back. And when I do, there will be songs of thanksgiving and there will be sounds of rejoicing. What you think about controls how you feel. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Turn to Philippians 4:4. What you think about controls how you feel. And God has told us that long ago. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 is where we find the scripture that says, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice always. Well, how can I rejoice always if what I think about affects how I feel? And if I'm worried about things and I'm struggling with things and I'm kind of down about things in my life, how can I rejoice? And the answer is, you have to see the good. Rejoice always. Look at verse 6. Do not be anxious. So God is telling us, rejoice, don't worry. Be positive, not negative. Be joyful, don't be worrying, and don't be anxious. But notice, and this is where we find that we are to present our request to God. Turn to God in prayer, but do it with what? Thanksgiving. And then verse 8, Paul says, these are the things we are to think about. Whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, think about these things. Why? Because what you think about affects how you feel. For example, the threat of ISIS. You know, when we think about ISIS and what they're doing, well, is it getting better? Yes, no. What might happen in our country? That's just a threat of those who are determined to do us harm. And then, I don't know if you heard this, but evidently China is demonstrating the ability to hack our computer systems with potentially the ability to bring down our electronic infrastructure, things that would affect power plants, things that would affect banking. When you think about another nation having the ability to cripple the things that make everything go in this nation. And then yesterday, I'm listening on the radio, and I guess a couple country music artists have come out of the closet, and the radio DJ or the personality on a local country station is talking about it, and the other one on there's two of them, and the other one says, good for him, and then she says she'll be glad when the day comes where it's no longer news. And I think, where are we? Where are we as a people where sin comes to a place where it's just no longer news? It's no longer something to be concerned about or ashamed of or to be right with God about, but it's the way things should be. Now, how do you feel right now, by the way? If you're like me, I kind of feel not real good. It's depressing. But if I stop and realize that God is still God and He's still in control, and my God is still good, and no matter what comes my way, God says He will hold my hand and He will take me through it. And He is with me. He has sent His Son to die for me, and He has put His Spirit in me. And God says He'll never forsake me. He'll never leave me. He is able. His arm is not too short. How do you feel? What we think about controls how we feel. And God says, don't think the way the devil wants you to think, but be thankful. Focus on God and His goodness. And when we do that, you can't help but be joyful when you think of how good God is. Number 3, thankfulness creates contentment. Thankfulness is a focus on what I have versus what I want. Have you heard the joke about only in America on a national holiday called Thanksgiving, that very night, could we have people climbing up? Usually, no offense, ladies, but usually more so the ladies. We'll get out on Black Friday and just about kill each other to get, you know, to get all the deals, to get the thing, get the presents to on Thanksgiving. It is a little ironic, without a doubt. Why is it midnight of Thanksgiving? Because you can't start Christmas until after Thanksgiving. That's why. Contentment. Thanksgiving creates contentment. The pilgrims made 7 times more graves than huts. No Americans have been more impoverished than those who nevertheless set aside a day of Thanksgiving. It's an interesting thought. In 1 Timothy, Paul talks about it. He says, he writes to Timothy, he says, "Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that." If we have food and clothing. Do we have food and clothing? You know, when I stop and think, do I have food and clothing? Then I start to see how good God is to me. If I have food and clothing. Well, we have much more than food and clothing. We can be content with that. Notice verse 9, so we have a picture of contentment, and then he switches. Now we have a picture of what's not content. Verse 9, people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap. Verse 10, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. We have harmful desires. So we have, on the one side, is I'm thankful, I'm focused on what I have and how good God is to me, and we have a spirit of contentment. On the other side, we have, man, I need this. I want that. I mean, if you watch TV during this time of year, you better be careful, because every commercial is dangling something that you need, you have to have, and you didn't even know you had to have it until you saw it. Have you ever done that? You ever walked in a store and you walk down and on the end of the aisle is something and I think, man, I need that. I didn't even know I needed that until I walked in the store and saw how they presented it. Well, goodness, yeah, I do need that. We live in quite a world that's not content. When Stephanie and I married, I was living in a rent house. I was renting a single wide trailer. And when we married, we were, of course, we moved from there to a rent house. We were able to afford a better rent house, so we moved to a 2-story rent house, and it was nice. But I remember during that time, I wasn't itching to get into a better home. I didn't have a problem with where I lived. And I think a big part of that is because prior to living there, I stayed in a fifth wheel for about 6 months in the wintertime with a pilot for the hot water heater to the shower, which is, it's really not proper to call that a shower. I don't know what you call it. You call it like a watering system with a little spritzer. and the pilot to the hot water heater is on the outside of that trailer. And so it's just a roll of the dice every morning, every cold morning when I get up, is there hot water or not? And I remember thinking, when I get into a home where I have a shower that I can stand in, and I have hot water that I know will be there, that will be good. And I remember very vividly renting that little single-wide mobile home and enjoying every hot shower I took. And periodically, I still appreciate that. Thankfulness focuses us on what we have versus when we had less, or versus someone else who has less. Thankfulness doesn't look at what I have versus what I want. That's greed. That's desire. That's not contentment. But contentment and thankfulness is where I look at what I have versus what I didn't have, or where someone else has less than I do. Someone made this, I read this in a, I read this statement in a commentary. A complaining, criticizing Christian is in no place to worship God. And I would add to that, as Christians, we should be the most thankful, joyful, content people around. And I'm not always that way. I'm human just like you. And I've had parts of my life that I need to restructure because I live in a society that says you need this and this and this. And man, if you were like, if you had what this guy has, boy, you'd be happy. And I just bring us back today to God's word that says, trust me, rely on me, look at how good I've been to you. And I've given you food and clothing, and be thankful. And so go with me, let's go to the Father and pray. God, we thank you this morning. We do have so much to be thankful for. And we could pray on, and we could make a long list. But we ask that you would help us, not just this day or week or time of year, but help us to have a habit of focusing on what you've given us and focusing on how good you are. And even in our times of need, that we can rejoice because we know you're capable and we know you will take care of us. And we just thank you and pray that we could be more content, that we would have more joy, that we could show the world how good you are and how good it is to be a child of you. And we pray that in your Son's name. Amen. This morning we are going to sing a song of encouragement. And there may be, you may be here struggling today and needing prayers of the church, of your church family. And there may be someone here this morning who's never had your sins washed away. And today, you could become a child of God. And if you have a need, we'd ask that you come while we stand and sing.
For all that you know, I will pay.